welcome to Night Clerk Radio, episode 136, episode number one of spooky season 2025. I am Burke. I'm here with Ross. How you doing, buddy?
Hello. I'm doing great. We're very excited for the spooky month to be starting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan. Yeah.
Big fan. And we didn't really do much. I feel like, I guess we did last spooky season. Maybe we did some. I don't know. It all blurs together. Yeah. It all blurs together. But today, we're getting back into horror video game soundtracks. So this is something we haven't done really in a long time. It's like an every couple of years thing where I guess even the first time, there weren't even soundtracks that existed. That was that Fakecore soundtrack for the survival horror game. I'm blanking on the name. It was like our third episode.
Oh, was on yeah. The episode. It's like time something. Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. It'll be in the notes. I'll put it in the notes. And then, you know, we did Signalis, which is, I guess, like a horror game, right? It's a good game and had a great soundtrack. We did that with Caleb along with Dark Tide, which is definitely not a horror game, but still very fun. And yeah, we're just like, well, let's just see what's going on now in soundtracks. So we have four. I'm going to introduce them, Ross, and then I want to talk to you about something because I had a thought while I was listening to these soundtracks. And
okay.
I want to sort through it on air. So the four soundtracks we're discussing are the Silent Hill 2 remake from 2024, Look Outside, a game which you had actually shouted out previously. Mm-hmm. It's a little horror indie game. And then another game you had shouted out, which is Cultic Chapters 1 and 2, however they're delineated. And, you know, first of all, this is a lot of music. Each one of those indie game soundtracks is like an hour and a half. The Silent Hill 2 soundtrack is like 6 hours.
Yeah.
So I may sneak some samples in, but they may come in awkwardly because I'm doing it in editing and I forget to do it while we're talking. But we're going to try at least a little bit, especially Silent Hill 2 is so varied. It's really hard to, I think, give like a representational sample of it. But there's a lot of great stuff in there. Yep. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about is this, like, lightning bolt thought I had that's not necessarily a good one, but I want to figure out why I had it. It might be nothing, and then we can move on and just talk about music. It might be something. So when I was listening to this, first I was listening to Silent Hill, the Silent Hill soundtrack, because I was just going in reverse order in which you posted them in our Discord, like our little cast notes section. And I listened to some of Silent Hill 2, and then I realized, like, oh, this is a preview. This is not, that's why the songs are so short. I'll go deal with this later. And I moved on to Look Outside. And like, as soon as the Look Outside soundtrack started, I had this weird intrusive little thought where I was like, oh, this sounds like a video game soundtrack. And because like Silent Hill 2 is, I guess it has so much money and it's like so produced and it's like all these written tracks with like tons of production. I was like, it almost didn't register as like a video game soundtrack to me. I don't know. I just had this weird thought pop in, and I don't want to like be some essentialist, like, oh, this is what makes a video game soundtrack. I'm going to write for, I don't know, what's a bad online Wired? I don't know. I'm going to write for Wired and be like, well, what makes a video game soundtrack is the G PC minor gamer. 7 chord. Yeah, yeah, PC gamer or one of those. I'm not trying to do that kind of essentialism, but I did have this thought of like, oh, this sounds more like a video game soundtrack to me. And I have no idea why. I have no idea why. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was like a little more fun despite the game, and I don't know what the game is actually like. Maybe the game is a little more fun and comedic. I thought it was, I don't know how like actually scary a game it is.
Look Outside. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. To your first point, I mean, you know, Silent Hill 2's, the original soundtrack was, you know, sort of foundational for me as like my entry into weird haunted music. Right. And like,
oh yeah.
And I've listened to that how many times, and this, the Silent Hill 2 remake, like I listened to the preview thing, which is about 49 minutes and it's little cuts of each of the big tracks. And then I listened to, you know, about an hour of the 6 hour version that's available. And that's apparently not even all the tracks, according to the comments on YouTube. So there's even more music. And in the case of Silent Hill 2, I feel like this is like, you know, when a band gets really big and like they do an anniversary album and they get orchestral backing and they overmaster it and they have all the money to make it sound like it's just more extra, right? Like it's still really good. It's still the same tracks you remember, but now they're even better. There's more subtlety. There's more nuance. They have more time to work on it. They have way more money and talent. And so it's just more polished.
So you're saying it's like when Metallica did that album with the...
Yeah, basically.
the orchestra. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I've heard good things about the Silent Hill 2 remake. Like they actually, like the Bloober team, you know, I can't believe that's their name, but like they actually got it. They didn't mess it up like they did. Well, their original titles led some people to speculate that, oh, they're going to mess up Silent Hill 2, but they got it. Apparently they nailed the landing. I haven't played it. So, you know, I'm waiting for it to go on sale before I buy it. But in the case of Look Outside, like that's, I can't remember if Look Outside is done by a solo developer or not, but like it's a very low budget game compared to that, right? Mm. And it is, yeah, it's Look Outside and Cultic are actually done by single developers, like a single person doing this. But yet they've all been very evocative. And I think in Look Outside, it's out of all the titles we're talking about, it's the most whimsical of the games out there. So it is obviously a horror game with a lot of body horror and weird stuff going on. But like it's still got a lot of jokes and a lot of little comedic bits in it. And yeah, so I think it's this level of expectations and budgeting that we're seeing hearing in terms of the soundtracks. But it's also, you know, relating to the game itself, I think the best game soundtracks are the ones that sort of intensify the experience of playing the game when you're in it. I think that's like its primary job, right? And certainly, well, I played the original Silent Hill 2, and I played Look Outside, and I played Cultic. And when you get really into the game and the soundtrack really hits, like I just played Cultic Chapter 2, and I can remember very strongly at certain points where the music and the gameplay really synced up and really magnified the experience of playing it. Like I really got into it in a way that I wouldn't have if the music didn't quite work on that level or if there wasn't. So I think that's kind of what you have to look at. And so I think the Silent Hill 2 remake works because the music is so more pristine and nuanced than the original. Like the gameplay, like with these 4K textures and improved gameplay and all these other qualities, it just enhances that presentation. So
I can see that. Yeah, it was just a weird little thought I had. I was like, this sounds like a video game soundtrack. I don't know. It sounded like something dumb my dad would say or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Look Outside also has a lot of stuff about video games. Like you can play a video game inside the video game.
That's
like a
way meta text.
Yeah, it's like your character has the game's on a clock in Look Outside. You have 2 weeks. And if you spend all your time outside, the more time you spend outside your room, your apartment, the more dangerous it gets. And so you have to sleep and clean yourself and eat every once in a while. And so you can also do things in your apartment to pass the time. You can craft items. You can talk to companions you've picked up, but you can also play video games. And if you play a certain video game enough times, you can unlock new skills and you gain experience for doing that. And you can find hidden games that give you better skills. So it's kind of like a whole like training for your character.
A rich tapestry, deeply layered.
Exactly. So,
and that is one advantage you have is that I've not played any of these games. I think of all of them, I really want to play Cultic probably the most because I love shooters and I love that era of shooters. Haven't gotten around to it. It's a new Diablo 4 season.
So oh, no.
I got another week of addiction stimming.
Got that Diablo in you.
I do. It's bad. Yeah, because, man. Blizzard, ugh. It's kind of giving me money, I guess. But, Look Outside is probably interesting, but I don't play games enough anymore is the problem. And then Silent Hill 2, I'm like, yeah, I think if it's on sale, I'd grab it because Silent Hill 2, that original Silent Hill 2, both as like a game and as you're saying, as a soundtrack, are incredibly influential for like early aughts me, shaping a lot of stuff I'm into. So yeah. I'll get it eventually.
Well, the fact that they didn't fuck it up, I just, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm very curious to see how they do it. Like, I've seen bits and clips and stuff like that, but I've deliberately avoided spoiling myself on it so I could savor playing it. Mm. So, yeah, Silent Hill 2, I don't have as much to say about the remake other than it sounds really good. And, like, all the tracks you remember, but they're even better now, you know. And there's a lot of other, but again, there's over 6 hours of music. So that it's just this incredible yeah. amount. And apparently there's even some tracks they didn't release for some reason on the official soundtrack. So I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I had a funny experience listening to that because the link you originally shared, I didn't even notice this, but I was like, oh, that's cool. They put it on the official Silent Hill YouTube channel. That's nice of them. They understand that people are just going to steal it anyway, I guess. It's just awful to say maybe, but, you know, but it's not, it's just preview tracks.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I was listening to it and I was like, oh, that was over quick. Oh, that was ever quick. That's yeah. weird. These just like weird little vignettes, and then the game does like a trick to loop them. This is weird. Mm-hmm. This is weird. I saw yeah. a preview in the title finally, like an idiot. I was like, oh. And then I just.
Yeah, it's like I thought the theme song, the main theme song would be a little longer. And yeah, it's like.
Yeah, why, oh, everything's like 45 seconds. That's really weird.
Yeah.
And that was like the thumbnail. I was like, disc one. I was like, wait, this is less than one disc of music. Why are there three discs? So yeah, so it's three CDs. It's 6 hours, as we've said many times. I think the other thing it really has going for it is it probably is the one that stands best maybe on its own. I don't know if that's just because I already have like a lot of context for Silent Hill 2 that I don't mm-hmm. for the other three, or if it is just because so much of it is like it drifts everywhere. There's so much genre mm-hmm. coverage. I guess that's good if it was 6 hours of, I don't know, one Four on the Floor house song or something. That'd probably be awful. But there's like acoustic stuff. There is like ambient and drone and soundscapes, especially like the third CD. Because I did kind of like, I didn't listen to the whole thing, unfortunately. I found out it was 6 hours long a little late to do like a fair list of the whole thing. But I did listen to like segments, like 15 minutes here and there.
Yeah.
So I probably listened to like at least half of it, like a third to half of it.
Okay.
So the back CD3 has like a bunch of drone soundscape stuff, which makes sense because if that's towards the end of the game, it's probably also like the most horrific kind of, you know, when everything's really starting to go off the rails, right? Like kind of the end of like a Silent Hill game.
And like drone tracks in particular, I think are really suited for video games because like a video game track yeah. most of the time has to be loopable, right?
Like yep. yeah, you get the looping for free because you don't yeah. know how long they're going to be standing around on a street or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but there's a lot of also like interesting, I thought you would say it before me, but I'll just say it. There's like some like post-rocky stuff mm-hmm. in there. I'm sure that was an influence in through there of like just a lot of guitar builds and a lot of layering of multiple instrumentals. But then there's all the classic like acoustic stuff. There's your save room music, which we've talked about a lot.
Yeah, love a good save room.
An essential component. You mm-hmm. got to have your safe zone, your save music. Another thing that this led me to, which is a suggestion, I'll just post it in the show notes. I don't really have much to say about it mm-hmm. other than it's fun, is somebody did do the Silent Hill soundtrack as a 1994 trip hop album.
Oh, I did listen to that. Yeah.
It's fun. It's like, it's like Silent Hill through the lens of like Portishead almost.
Yeah.
So that alone is interesting. And I would also check that out. That was pretty fun in terms of Silent Hill. But otherwise, like I said, unfortunately, it's like so long. So I'll probably use some of the soundscapey stuff as an outro sample at the end. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how else to like really, really, even if the whole episode was just that album, I still feel like you'd just be scratching the surface of it. And ultimately, it would be as informative of this 5 minutes of me saying it covers a lot of stuff and you should check it out. I do think it's really good to leave on. I'll probably listen to it a bunch next week because I think it is long enough and varied enough that I can just leave it on while I'm working and not really think about it and not have to be like, oh, that's over. What am I going to listen to next?
Oh, yeah.
So there's probably some advantage there also to the length. So maybe I'll have a follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, I want to listen to the other 5 hours that I have missed on the soundtrack. So like, yeah. I do want to talk about Cultic, though, because Cultic as a game is set in like the 1960s in this small town America, as you're playing this detective who's looking for a missing person. And you find out that this town has been taken over by this evil cult, and the cult has killed or captured everybody and killed everybody. You don't rescue anybody in this game. And they're also raising monsters, these horrible fleshy things that scream and run at you. And the main thing is it's incredibly pulpy and it's very inspired by old school games like Blood and Quake 1 in terms of its mm-hmm. palette and action. Lots of rogue cultists that you headshot and you literally throw bundles of dynamite at them. So, and this is also a game developed by a single person, Jason Smith, who also did the soundtrack. He did the art, he did the programming, he's a triple threat. And the original game was released in like 2022. And then the Chapter 2, which is a DLC, which is basically like a full sequel to the game. It's the same, you know, they've added a couple of new things to it and lots of new enemies and levels, and it's about the same length as the original game. And I just beat that a few days ago. And it's basically, I realized playing through it, it's like you're going through the unmade John Carpenter action movie. Like you're just, that's what the soundtrack really evoked for me. And especially like I was talking about that, you know, unity of music and gameplay. Like there's one level called the farm, which is this massive, you know, farmland open area with different little sections. And you have to go to each section to get an item or do something. And there's like some banjo in the farm track. And like it just kind of builds up gradually, gets really action, kind of slows down a bit and comes back in. And I really got into it. I'm in this creepy ass, you know, cornfield gunning down cultists and going through a haunted farmhouse. And I'm just, yeah, this is great. This is perfect. It really does have this really like it's fast paced, you know, action music, but it's not like breakcore EDM or anything like that. It really does have that John Carpenter soundtrack feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's actually true. I can see that now. Yeah, I also liked it. Again, I don't have like a reference for listening to it while playing the game, but it's fun. It's got a lot of, I think what works, first of all, it's a lot of like fun synth sounds, quite frankly. Just, I guess, so you said it's one person doing the coding. Do they also do all the soundtrack? Is it like a Toby
Fox?
Oh, composed by developer Jason Smith.
Yep.
Hot damn. Good job, Jason. There's like a lot of fun sort of through the middle of like a lot of like driving bass. I think that's maybe where some of the Carpenter also comes in on top of some of the other moody synth. Because, you know, Carpenter did have this, I don't know, inside you, there are two John Carpenters where there is the just like synth textures type of work. But he also always had a lot of like driving beat stuff in the sense that it was like it always felt slightly ahead of the beat, on top of or slightly ahead of the beat. So very driving or very like heartbeat feeling. So there's a lot of that sort of bass texture coming through. There are a lot of like little high pitched synth melodies. I always think of him. Mm-hmm. Again, the thing is like, it's a lot of little tracks. I'm trying to like go through in my head what stood out to me. I think it is the like middle, I don't know, the third quarter of the soundtrack. So like tracks like 14 through 20 ish or something. In that regime, that's the stuff that really stood out to me as like fun or like really bassy.
Yeah.
But I wish I had some context for the game to map hearing that back onto playing the game. Cause I do love those games. I love to fucking shoot cultists and throw dynamite at them.
Yeah.
There's that Hexen remaster recently that came out of nowhere.
Oh yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. In fact, he just updated the soundtrack on Bandcamp to include all the tracks from Chapter 2. So it's 3 hours of music and it's a $2 soundtrack. Like,
yeah,
you're getting such a great value. It's
hard to argue with. I've impulse bought Cultic in Chapter 2. So I'm going to try to play him this weekend.
There are, of course, a couple of gimmick tracks. There's like one of the levels is set in a shopping mall. So there's a shopping, you know, there's a mall soft kind of track.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, there's a Christmas track because you go to a Ren Fair. One of the levels is basically a Ren Fair type place. Okay. And but it's set up for Christmas lights and everything. So it's a Christmas game, a medieval Christmas track 64. And there's an optional game mode called Survival where you're just trying to survive how many waves of enemies you can get through. And they have a bunch of, you know, high paced tracks for that. And there is an interlude chapter. They do a thing where, like, you know, to satiate fans while Jason was working on Chapter 2, he created an interlude which featured a different main character, the rookie, who's a rookie at the police station when the outbreak, when the cult attacks. So yeah, it's a fun game. It's again, it's just like it's John Carpenter, but yeah, synth done by one person.
That's fair. Yeah, it's very synth professory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Medieval Christmas. Okay, that's on Chapter 2. I was trying to remember where that was, across which one.
Yeah, it does jump out when you listen to it on the soundtrack. Like, what's happening here?
So I did remember it, but I was like, I don't see it on this one. I was looking at the Chapter 1 or the original.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are separate YouTube mixes.
They are. So if we're talking Chapter 2, which, sorry, I was thinking of Chapter 1 when I was talking about driving stuff. So in Chapter 1, it's things like The World Asunder is very John Carpenter-y. In Their Sights is very John Carpenter-y, that type of stuff. For the Chapter 2 soundtrack, Christmas one definitely stood out. Shop Till You Drop, track 20, I think is the other one you're referencing as the mall jingle track. I also liked track 10, Castle Grandenwell, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's supposed to be German or maybe it's Grand Ewell. I don't know. I don't think so. Just because it's like a little bit of Wolfenstein pastiche almost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is, of course, you know.
Yeah.
A bit of references back and forth there. I guess there's also new Grandenwell track 2.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I'm excited to play it. I mean, as a soundtrack, as a marketing tool, I mean, it definitely worked.
Yeah.
Because I love that era of shooters, as I've said.
Yeah. One thing that's also fun, the games are, the levels are, especially in chapter 2, are absolutely huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. They are very large, lots of secrets in them. So it's very like, you'll clear an area. It's like, where did I, there are a couple times I got like, not lost, but like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? There's no markers or anything like that. You just have to figure it out on your own.
That is also a fine tradition of the genre, because there are some levels. When I was a kid, I eventually played it so much I knew where to go. But I think the first time I played like some of the later parts of Doom 2 and Hexen, when I'm like 10, I don't know where I'm fucking going. Well, yeah. Doom 2 was later. I was more like 12. But and then you learn it. And then I replayed it like 2 years ago, maybe during COVID. I was just playing a bunch of old shooters. I was like, God, I've forgotten where to go. Where's the fucking red key?
Oh, no. Memento Mori. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Basically. So,
yeah,
it is interesting because other games that never really happened. Like, I still know exactly where to go for like all of Half-Life and Half-Life 2.
Yeah. Those are much more linear, much more.
Yeah.
They're much cinematic. More direct. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. They're more focused on what you're supposed to do in any given moment.
Yeah. So to go back a little bit to Look Outside, I think the thing about Look Outside is it's more cozy. It's the most cozy of the three games. Like, cause again, you have a little apartment, a little safe room, and you build up out, you can like recruit other people in the apartment building as like party members. You can even rescue a little rat baby and raise it to be a rat boy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, there's all these people have been transformed into monsters, but some of the monsters you can still talk to and use them as like shopkeepers or as allies or as, and so I think the soundtrack reflects that sort of more laid back kind of version, even though this game does feature a lot of very horrific things and very monstrous and body horror type stuff. And, you know,
so it, in a way that's legitimately trying to be scary. It's not like a Psycho Goreman, like tongue in cheek fun with the genre or something.
Yeah. Like I said, there's a lot of meta commentary. The Toby Fox thing for this kind of makes more sense. Like it's more fantastic and, you know, sense of wonder kind of horror rather than like, you know, Silent Hill 2 is more psychological, more, but you know, character study of this person. And Cultic is like John Carpenter. We got to go murder a whole lot of bad guys with guns and hope we survive the night. And it's interesting because like one game I considered talking about and bringing up was Fear and Hunger, which in Fear and Hunger 2.
Oh, yeah.
But those games actually, both games are developed by a single developer again, use a lot of like Creative Commons and just, you know, royalty-free sound effects and music. So it's not, the program's like, yeah, sure, this sounds scary. We'll throw that in there. That's why we're not talking about Fear and Hunger. Also, Fear and Hunger is very edgelordy.
Yeah.
Kind of gross. I did re-listen to an older game, too. Vampires, The Masquerade, Bloodlines 1.
Original, like the 2000.
Yeah, 5.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah. Set in L.A. And great soundtrack.
What a time capsule.
So that's just, I played through it originally, you know, years ago, and the main title track still hits. It's still got that gritty industrial nightclub kind of feel to it. And it's a shame that apparently Bloodlines 2 is just a walking simulator or is just going to be a stripped down, horrible game done by a developer that just does walking simulator type games. So it's not going to be an immersive sim RPG like the original, but yeah. Anyways, really good soundtrack. And if you want to feel like you're one of the vampires being hunted by Blade, like that's the music to put on.
I don't know if I do.
Yeah. Well,
but if I did, I would.
Yeah. it's like the before Blade shows up at the Blood Rave. It's everything's great, and you know you're at the Blood Rave. It's fine. It's, you know, you're the apex predator of the night, and you don't have to worry about anything. And who's Blade? Don't worry about it. So I just want to mention that, but I just want to think, you know, are there any games that horror game soundtracks that stick out to you that we haven't talked about?
No, because I haven't really been playing them. You're my You're my window into this world. Oh. Yeah, I just am not good at keeping up with games. I was trying to think. The only other one that we both played was like, and again, there's another game that you shouted out, was like, not really a horror game either. It was Abiotic Factor. And I was like, well, I don't remember the soundtrack from that at all. I probably had the music turned off if it even exists. Otherwise, no, like, because a lot of games I play right now are games that I can, and that's why Cultic will be interesting for me. But a lot of games I play now are ones that I can get in and out in like 15 minutes real quick. And I don't have to like worry about it or get too pulled in. But maybe, yeah, I think I'm hoping in like a couple of weeks I'll start to have more time again, you know, kind of getting crushed by work and whatnot. So I'm hoping to kind of get back into the hobby, just see what's out there. Because all the other stuff is not really horror games. I don't know, does Peak count as a horror game? Because that's a great game. But it's only, maybe it's only a horror game for the 3 seconds while you're falling or whatever.
I mean, it, depending on how bad your teammates are, it could be an anger simulator. God damn it.
Well, I've only played with like Richard and Rika.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah. I got to play with Caleb though. Yeah. I got him to buy it. And we didn't play together. That's my fault.
Yeah. It's interesting because like
Peak's,
for me,
Peak's a little climbing simulator game where you're like, you're a little guy that crash lands on an island. You got to climb to the top of the island. It's a little roguelike.
Yeah. I mean, I do almost on my gaming while we're watching movies together in Discord. So like and so for me, like Cultic is great because it has the quick save and quick load. Like I can just hit F, you know, hit F5 and then quit out of the game if I need to. So, but you know, that's why I haven't played too many of the like AAA games because they're too demanding on my system. Right. Like I don't want my fans screaming while I'm trying to play Baldur's Gate. And also like, a lot of AAA games, just it just seems so exhausting to learn how to play them. Like I played like 30 or 40 hours of Baldur's Gate 3, and I'm just like, oh, I'm at a puzzle, and it's like, it's got to be a whole thing for me to figure out how to get this fucking puzzle to get to the next section. Whereas Cultic, just shoot dudes, and you'll figure it out. And even like complex games like Slay the Spire, like they're more paced. Yeah, I don't know. My gaming habits have certainly changed, but like I have Cyberpunk 2077. I've installed it. I just haven't played it because it's like, oh, I've got to spend 5 hours just learning how to play this thing with all its little systems and mechanics. And yeah, like the game I'm looking most forward to is this indie game that's coming out next year called Menace, which is supposed to be like an XCOM type game. And I'm like, ooh, XCOM. I love XCOM because it's turn-based. I can pause it. I can walk away from it. I can not focus on it. And the mechanics will be taught gradually. And I don't have to learn, you know, do your daily thing and do this and do this. And like all these Pavlovian or Skinner box mechanics that AAA games have.
Yeah. That's true, too.
Yeah. But enough about bitching about gaming, like the old men that we are. Cultic, great game and great soundtrack. And Silent Hill 2, I do want to play that. I do want to listen to the rest of the soundtrack. And of course, Look Outside. Look Outside, I haven't beaten, but like it's a fun game to play because it's an RPG maker.
Okay. That was going to be my next question is like, does Look Outside, because I want to talk about that one a little bit at the end, because I think that was of the four, my favorite of the soundtracks.
Oh, okay.
I really liked like a lot of the 8-bit adjacent stuff in the back half and like a lot of fun arpeggiators and stuff going on. That's why I said like as like a video game soundtrack, because, you know, I loved like Fez and FTL and some of those other sort of single composer video game soundtracks. So it reminded me of that.
Yeah, it's heavily modded like RPG Maker game. So, you know, top-down Super Nintendo type graphics. And turn-based combat, but a lot of hidden mechanics, like you have a timer, but also there's like, you don't know exactly how much hunger and thirst you have. So they'll just tell you that you're hungry or you're thirsty, and like you have to clean yourself every so often. And like,
yeah.
And there's tons of little side quests and hidden characters you can find, like apparently, and they're adding new stuff to the game all the time. Like they added a sentient vending machine that you can recruit as a companion, apparently. And I played 20 or 30 hours of it, and it was fun, but like it kind of got to be a slog because like, oh, I have to go through this and do this and do this and like keep track of all these things. And like, yeah, RPGs with like timers on them are kind of like, prefer the like, let me do things at my own pace kind of games, like more Fallout New Vegas than Persona. So I haven't beaten it, but I did have a good time playing it. It also has a lot of RNG stuff. So if you don't play it right, you could have to start over especially if you're playing on the higher difficulties. You could just screw yourself out where you don't have enough resources to get by. So, But
yeah, and I guess if you haven't beat it, that was my main question, is I didn't know if it had like an actual end condition. And is it something you could replay over and over again? Is it like roguelike-y in terms of who?
There are multiple endings.
Okay, but it's not like who gets mutated into what, or is that deterministic, or is that kind of random?
No, it's pretty deterministic. Like all the companions can get, they get, like, there are good things and bad things that could happen to them, and some, like one companion in particular can become, if you don't take them as a companion, can become an enemy you have to fight, because they go bad. And there's multiple endings. Like you're just a person living in the apartment, and that's it. But like,
yeah,
you can totally screw yourself over and have a really bad ending, or an even, yeah, there's like four or five endings, I think, at least. So including like, aha, you totally screwed up and you suffered a fate worse than death. It's, again, like one of those things where there's a lot of side quests you can do to have little minor modifications to the overall ending, but like there's the best ending requires the most difficult quest. And if you don't use a guide, you're going to have to play multiple times to figure it out. So yeah, it's in a game that would be very frustrating if you don't use a guide to play, because you're going to have to play through so many times to figure out this stuff, because a lot of it's not very straightforward. But, you know, I had fun playing it, but yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, it does sound interesting, but I think it would be like super, super interesting if who gets turned into what was like was a roguelike.
Oh, yeah.
It was just survive kind of three. I'm asking for a completely different game of a game I've never played. So this is not a criticism.
Yeah.
I was just reconciling what it actually is with what I thought it might have
been. Yeah, it's not a roguelike. It's got a predetermined plot.
I totally misunderstood it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Just funny to me. I realized that with them. Like, I'm telling a game I've never played to be a completely different game. Just maybe one of the biggest asshole things you can possibly do.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe now's the season to check it out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, check out one of these games. Again, these are really, really good games that are being developed by solo developers.
Solo developed Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, well, I would love to see that. I would love to see it. Like I just like the low poly, like, aesthetic in horror now. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, dial back other graphics and focus on the gameplay and story more, you know? Like, that's, like, photorealistic graphics are fine, but, like,
they're neat.
Yeah,
they can be neat,
but, you know, I would rather have an interesting story and gameplay if I had to choose between the two. So, yeah. Anyway, let us know what spooky games you're playing and what spooky game soundtracks you like.
Yeah, and check these ones out. Thank you so much for listening and joining us for the start of spooky season 2025. Definitely encourage you to check these games out. Like we said, check the soundtracks out. Let us know what you're playing and what you're listening to. Next episode, we're going to be doing new music for October. No guarantees on spookiness of said new music, just to be clear. Just want to get it all out on the table. I don't know. Are you going to target like a spooky pick, Ross? You think you're going to try to do seasonal for your new music?
I think I am going to try. I'll have to survey the field, right? So there's something.
I was going to dig through some like witch house or something, see what's going on.
Ooh, yeah.
See if there's anything fun or goth or I don't know.
Yeah, just a dark army. So you can't do that again.
Yeah, you fool. You burned. The one time I'd let you get away with cryo chamber. You used it for September.
Yep.
It was right there.
It was right there. Yeah. So I'll have to look to see what else inspires me.
I trust you.
Yeah.
Find something.
Okay.
So definitely check that out. And if you like this episode, you want to hear more of what we do have a Patreon, nightclerkradio@patreon.com. We got Discords. We got bonus episodes, like 50 some, maybe almost 60 at this point. Got some writing here and there. Cool community. Just helps, keep the antenna running, basically. You can also find us at Blue Sky at Nightclerk Radio. Ross is Ross Payton at Blue Sky. There's nightclerkradio.com, at gmail.com, however you want to reach out to us, or hit us up on YouTube if you're not already viewing us there. And hey, as we always say, go out there, build community, play some games together. None of these are co-op games. We should have done a co-op game, Ross, for our community call.
Oh, yeah.
As the great Jake the Happy Snake would say, hindsight's 2020. But alas, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.